You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Dropped out of the presidential race. So in spite of all the protestations and other gyrations, you have two old white dudes fighting out for the presidency of the United States. So there you have it. The you know, I don't think that all that was very hard to figure out, honestly. I mean, where else did people have to go? You know, people have been saying for months the country's not going to elect Bernie Sanders. He and AOC, in spite of how much the media is enamored with them, I mean, she started her own PAC, and every candidate that she had anything to do with got annihilated. So, yeah, it ain't like all that. Okay, so you know, interesting. Interesting stuff. Elizabeth Warren, I don't know how you overcome the death blow of your coming in third, in your own state. I mean, come on. Can you hear, right, the flamethrower-in-chief with that at a debate? Oh, my God. So Joe Biden, right, the gaffe machine. So now all scrutiny goes to Biden. He will beat Bernie Sanders, no doubt about it. And again, and we will see what we will see. And Joe Biden, who is, but again, if you look at it and you say, okay, who's going to win this, right? Who's going to win this? You know, all these people begin to drop out after Super Tuesday. Who's left? Well, I don't think it's a stretch to say Biden going to be left. He's one of them. Mayor Pete's not going to leave and not going to, you know, Mayor Pete, he's not going to be there. Amy Klobuchar, not going to be there. So where is everybody going to go? And then when you layer on, in my opinion, were I a political analyst and had thought about the Democratic candidate a whole lot, where else is everybody going to go? If in the financial markets, it's flight to safety, right? Flight to safety. It's flight to safety. And so, and who would the safe candidate be? Well, it's not Bernie Sanders. It's not Elizabeth Warren. The question was, would Mike Bloomberg do anything, make a ripple after all the money he spent? And I saw somebody make a pretty interesting comment last night about Michael Bloomberg tried to influence the election and spent how many, almost $500 million, right? The Russians spent $200,000 on Facebook and we had a meltdown about it. And we just saw how much influence $500 million made on the electorate. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought that was a pretty interesting point. I was like, oh, didn't really think of that. We had a complete conniption fit over Russian manipulation. So really, right, the manipulation that Russia exerts is the manipulation of the media by the insinuation that they're trolling, right? They're trolling. So I guess for those who pay attention to that stuff, then you know they're caught up in it. But for the average voter, is gonna, you know, do they get their, is that where they get their information from, is Facebook? I don't think so. Not across the country, right? There may be, you know, in the electorate, there may be that small group of political crazies that go over that stuff. But, you know, by and large, I think people make up their mind over a period of time. You know, if you're a Republican, you don't have a choice, right? If you're a conservative, you don't have a choice. And so depending on, you know, Bernie Sanders is not going to beat Joe Biden. That thing's over. So Biden's going to be the candidate. And so the question is, will the people in the middle that elect the president, will they be enamored by the economy? Or will they be so put off by the president that they'll vote against him? In that case, we'll have Joe Biden. But that's going to be interesting because the flamethrower in chief, man, Biden's got a record that he's going to have to defend, right? And you've already seen him on the defensive about it, right? His, you know, going to war in Iraq, which might be the least of his problems. His kid, right? So when they try to throw that in Trump's face, he will throw it back. He'll throw it back, and he will go, and right, you know, they've gone through Biden's background, and that won't be the only case of patronage that Joe Biden answers for. So, and then he's got his votes on what? He got a civil rights problem back there, back in the day. So, yeah, it ain't all good. It ain't all good for Joe. So anyway, it'll be interesting theater as the flamethrower in chief tries to get himself a second term. The other thing that I think is really interesting is that, you know, keep your eye on the whole, you know, Afghanistan thing. Now, and here's the problem with having B-team guys like Mark Esper as the Secretary of Defense, right? You know, you need people of substance. People, you know, everybody says truth, they'll speak truth to power. My experience is they don't do that. You know, did Colin Powell do it when he should have done it? No. Did most of the generals do it when they should have done it? No. That's the test. So you got a guy like Mark Esper. Is he just going to be a bobblehead as we unass Afghanistan? And is that what we should do? Look, we've been there almost 20 years. We've done enough for the Afghan people, because there's a whole group of Republican politicians that have been elected to Congress that have said, yeah, there's no means of verification in this. So how does this even work? And so what was, if that was a document, what was Khalilzad doing for months? I mean, shit, I would venture to say we could have had that shitty deal a long time ago. So I don't know. So the question on balance is it time for us to leave Afghanistan and tell the Afghan people, you've got to sort this out. We've done enough. Or do we stay in some form of overwatch capacity with a minimized footprint, right? We've trained you guys enough. We'll be there with supporting arms. But you know what? We're not going to put our guys in harm's way anymore. We're done with that. We're done with the dying phase of this. We're in the support phase and the overwatch phase. And Taliban, just so you know, we will, if we have to land people locally and kill you, we will do that. We will do that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that shakes out, because as we've talked about, you know, the deal is a weak deal. The deal is only makes sense if that is the pretext for the Vietnamization of the Afghan war, which means, you know, we use terms like peace with honor and then we get the fuck out. That's how that shit makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of gross. But you have people watching now. And so we shall see. We shall see what happens. Let me tell you what. We're going to talk to Grant Newsham today instead of the Lynch and Kenny thing. They've been on, what, I don't know, three of the last six, seven, eight programs. So I just, they came on a Monday. And then bumped Grant to Thursday. So you're going to hear Grant. We'll talk about the coronavirus, the economic impact. China, you're not hearing that it's turned into this major threat to humanity in China. What happened? So we'll talk to Grant about that. We'll talk to Grant about, as we do, about the Pacific Rim. Rocket Man is firing up his apparatus here most recently. So we'll talk to Rocket Man. And what else are we going to talk to Grant about? I want to get Grant's opinion about Afghanistan. Get his thoughts on it. Grant's an intel guy, so they always have opinion. And so we'll get his opinion on Afghanistan. I'll tell you the other one. The other story that, you know, gets drowned out by our politics and also by our own coronavirus hysteria is Iran. You know, they have members of their inner circle of their ruling party that have died from this and that are sick from this. So we will see where that goes. Yeah, Iran, a little bit slow to the party. And so anyway, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. So anyway, good morning to you on this Thursday, the 5th day of March. Yeah. Going to Hawaii later this month. Fired up about that. And anyway, I got some email about the book from yesterday. Here's a book title idea. Hey, Mac, I was listening to the program today. Wanted to toss out my idea for the Post-Traumatic Winning book title. Post-Traumatic Winning, Lessons from the Marine Corps and Beyond to Create Joy from Trauma. Or, now, it's not Marine Corps, though. This is not Marine Corps. This is Marines, right? And I know that's kind of a subtle difference. Oh, that's no, it's chicken shit. Well, no, it's not. Okay, no, it's not. Because this is not from the Marine Corps. And I've had people introduce it as such. Yeah, this is something the Marine Corps is doing. I say, no, it's not. The Marine Corps hasn't embraced this. This is something that individual Marine commanders have invited me to do. The Marine Corps has done the Heisman on post-traumatic winning. So anyway, and so I make sure I make that distinction. This comes from United States Marines and the culture of Marines, not the Marine Corps itself. I know. Mac, kind of chicken shit for this early in the morning. I know it is. Or, here's a second suggestion, post-traumatic winning, overcoming trauma through service to others. All right. Here's my thought, okay? And I kind of made a book cover last night that I sent to a couple people to check out. I said, hey, check this out. All right, so the top line of the book cover says trauma to joy. The subtitle one, right, and this is on top of an image, and I just threw the post-traumatic winning emblem in there, right, the blue W, PTSD at the bottom, and over the top of it, it says post-traumatic winning. I just threw that in there as, if I could find a picture of what this represents, and I'll use that. Right, so it's at the top. It says "Trauma to Joy," the story of post-traumatic winning, and then underneath the picture it says what United States Marines taught me about living a great life after trauma arrives. So, now, So that's what's on there right now. Let me read you another one. The book. I just missed the first 15 minutes this morning. Just tuned in to hear about the upcoming book. I'll buy one if it's a signed copy. That's from Libby. Libby's in this damn thing, all right? She can sign it to herself. Book title. Hi, Mac. Why not the words of your, it says words, he means words of your former platoon sergeant that started you on it. You know you're never going to get over this. He was my gunny. Come on, don't bust him to staff sergeant. It's the best summary that I can think of. Now, you know what? I agree. I don't disagree with that. To me, it's compelling. But here's the problem, okay? The problem is that you know something about post-traumatic winning, but if you're just in a bookstore, right, if you just are in a bookstore, does that communicate the essence of the book? You know you'll never get over this. I don't know that it does, but okay, I'll take that for thought. Let me see if there's another one. No, that's it. And then I had a discussion about it yesterday afternoon. So, yeah, because the book's already written. I mean, I think I've written 98 pages. I've dictated, just a first draft, but I'm probably, three quarters of the way through dictating the first draft. But, I mean, the content is all, just have to be racked and stacked. And then what person do you write it in? The first part of the book should be, it's about me, right? My journey. Here's how I got here, right? And then it transitions to, the second person as we talk about the three goals and the Ten Commandments. And then back to the first person as I talk about giving and blah, blah, blah. So that's what I'm thinking. So If you got any thoughts on that, if you're a writer or if you have thoughts on the book, then you'll feel free to wax eloquent and let me know. All right. Grant Newsham's going to join us in about 38 and 5 is 43 minutes. So Grant's going to join us in 43 minutes. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. This dedicated to Colleen. Yeah, I've never dedicated this to Colleen. But Colleen's swimming today. And she's been killing it. This is her third meet. In the first two meets that she swam in. She's got 4 first place and 2 second place. Yeah. So Colleen killing it. And she's had to overcome some stuff, to do this. So very proud of Colleen, learning how to fight for herself and not let other people dictate, you know, where she'll go or what she will be. So this dedicated to my 16-and-a-half-year-old daughter, Colleen, whose nickname is Uman. Yeah, Uman. There's a woman. And the first movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, right? And when Jack Sparrow goes into this swamp to find out, to see this woman, to predict the future. Her name's Calypso, right? So anyway, she goes to see Calypso. Now, Colleen, I don't know how old she was. 6 or 7 when the movie came out. And Calypso says to Jack Sparrow, she's a woman. She says woman, right? She speaks in this kind of Cajun, crazy, you know, accent. And so Colleen used to call her Uman. And so that became Colleen's name, Uman. So anyway, that's what I call her sometimes. So so again, this is dedicated to my daughter, Colleen. Good luck today. Kick their ass.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather here. It's what we do this time of the morning. Currently, it is partly cloudy and 49 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune, raining in 52. 29 Palms, warm. That's a good omen. Sunny and 62 already out in the desert. Means it's going to be a nice day here on the coast. Partly cloudy and 54 at Camp Pendleton. Clear, dark, and 62 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Okinawa's cooled off a little bit. Cloudy and 57. In Afghanistan, in the province where they had all kinds of fighting 2 days ago, it is cloudy, clear, dark, and 55. In the provincial capital of Lashkar Gah, which is kind of in the north-central part of the province. Down at the southern end of the province is the border with Iran. And then in the northern third of the province is the Sangin region. In the center part of the province is the Marja region. You've heard of both of them. Currently warmed up in Iraq. It is clear, dark, and 64 early in the evening in Ramadi in the Al Anbar province. At the home of All Marine Radio, the corporate headquarters. Currently partly cloudy and 59. Looking for a high of 73. My phone says it's going to be 76, though. Looking for a high of 67 tomorrow. So it'll be a nice day today. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it. We'll check some news headlines. And then at about 9:05 Pacific time, the one and only Grant Newsham will join us. I believe we will go ahead and we might meet here in the next few months as I'm going to be, he lives in Hawaii. So I'm excited that I'll possibly get to meet Grant Newsham in person. That's right. All right. Don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just listening to the music.
Let you down, but I did what I did before love
All right. Time to check news headlines here. Top headline, man. Liz Warren is done. Yeah, I don't think you had to be a genius to figure that one out. So Joe Biden will take over. We'll take on the flamethrower-in-chief. So stand by for that. Somebody sent me an email. Mac, used to be in the financial markets. What do you do now that the stock market's tanking? Okay, you want to know what you should do? You should buy. Now, here's the deal. If you're stupid enough to be like at the point of retirement and you're still included in the your portfolio is still like balanced in a way that's appropriate for somebody in their 30s, you're stupid, right? And you know one of the operative slogans of All Marine Radio, I can fix a lot of things, I can't fix stupid. If you did that, you did what you did before love came to town, man. And now that love's come to town, there's nothing I could do to help you. So you're in it for the long term, but you may only be here for the short term. Sorry about that. Yeah, don't be stupid, man. Don't be greedy. At some point, you got to transition your money so you preserve it. Hello? Everybody got to get greedy, though. Yep. So my advice, if you're not at the point of retirement, what do? When people panic, you buy quality on weakness, because the underlying fundamentals of the economy are good. Strong job market, right? Biggest problems are finding labor in the sector, in the labor sector. Those are good. That's growing economy, man. So, yeah, it's not the economy, stupid. It's the Chinese infecting the world with this virus. All right, and let me tell you, at some point, right, the world will get its hands around this, and then, you know, this will go back in the can, and, you know, we will go ahead and life will resume for most people. And so that's the way it's going to be. So, yeah, my advice is buy quality on weakness, right? Keep an eye on the things that you've made money on in the past and buy more of it when they drop. And what that's going to do is when the market does come back, as it did yesterday, and it's interesting watching, you know, why the market came back. The market came back because it judged that Bernie Sanders is not going to be the Democratic candidate, and Joe Biden will govern as a moderate. So there was all kinds of sectors that rebounded. Healthcare rebounded, all kinds of different things. It had been, you know, lagging because of the black cloud. So the market judged that Bernie Sanders, it ain't happening. Okay. And I would tell you this, even if he got elected, you know, you cannot take the ship of state and turn it left or right. The best you could do is turn it north northwest or north northeast. It ain't going east and it ain't going west. Why? Because we have two houses of Congress that all that stuff has to get through. And so it tends to be a little bit more of a difficult proposition than, you know, than it is. You know, it's one thing to go out there and campaign and, you know, and all the fire and brimstone of Elizabeth Warren and free tuition and Bernie Sanders. It is all going away. And you're going to get down to issues that most Americans care about. And not, you know, and not the craziness that, you know, the majority of the media wants you to focus on, which is Bernie Sanders, Liz Warren, and Miss Cortez in New York City. Right? They're finding out that there's a gigantic middle class that is raising kids and is the heart of this country. And they elect the president. And if you don't appeal to them, your shit ain't going anywhere. You can jump on all the stages you want. You can do everything you want to do on Facebook, but you don't have the juice. You don't have the juice because you don't have the voters. So. So my advice to the markets: buy quality on weakness. Buy quality on weakness, and so there you have it. To the news we go. Number of U.S. forces Korea-related coronaviruses rises to 6. That's the top headline. Next headline, UCOM cancels joint military exercise in Israel over new coronavirus. Next story. Army and the Marines offer a new modular rifle as a standard sniper weapon. Everybody loves snipers, right? Everybody loves snipers. The good news is that, you know, the Army and the Marine Corps, you know, and let me tell you, the Marine Corps got to get in bed with the Army on most, you know, weapons buys because of simply cost, right? The Army and the Marine Corps want to buy a multi-caliber sniper rifle that would provide improved accuracy at long ranges as part of the modernization efforts aimed at maintaining parity with rivals like Russia and China. Both services have allocated funding in the proposed 2021 budget for the bolt-action modular Barrett Firearms Multi-Role Adaptive Design, or MRAD, which allows for quick barrel swaps to handle 7.62 NATO, 300 Norma Magnum, and 338 Norma Magnum ammunition. The Army, in its budget request, said the rifle designated the Mark 22 by Special Operations Command would become the primary anti-personnel sniper system effective against personnel and material targets at extreme ranges. Its range of 1,500 meters is 300 meters greater than that of the M2010 sniper rifle it will replace, the Army said. This increased standoff distances, ensuring overmatch against enemy counter-sniper engagement, and increases sniper capability. Yeah, we love that. And there's a picture of it, right? Like most sniper weapons, man. It looks awesome. This thing looks like it's like about 7 feet long. The suppressor on the front, you would know it as the silencer. Yeah, what does it look like? It looks like it's about a foot long. So what do you hear? You hear, whew, what was that? Oh, I just shot around. Yeah, scope is longer than hell, and then the stock is one of those modular stocks, and right. So now it has multiple barrels that go with it. So snipers get to hump that. Yeah, a little bit more weight for you boys. Suck it up, and then you get to hump three different calibers of ammunition. Nice. You don't get to hump more ammunition. It'll just be spread out over three different calibers. Unless prior to the mission, you make some, you know, you make an assumption about what, you know, what barrel you'll use on this mission and what ammunition you'll use. And you can task organize for the mission. The sniper, the stock, like a lot of advanced weapons these days, has a, you know, you adjust the relief into your shoulder. You adjust the elevation of the part of the stock that your cheek leans against, right? Yeah, how about that? So that thing's tricked out so that every time you lay your head on that stock, it's perfect, right? And you don't have to can't, you know, depending on how big your head is, right? You do different things with it to make sure your eye's in the right place. Well, now everybody can do the same thing because you can adjust the elevation on that. So put your cheekbone right here. Doesn't matter how much the distance is of your head. So anyway, stuff like that, which has been the revolution in firearms here the last decade or so. So yeah. So everybody loves to talk snipers. So there you have it. Airman's $15 invention could save the Air Force millions. A new tool developed by an airman at RAF Mendenhall could greatly reduce the time needed to find fuel leaks in tanks. How about that? The 3D printed pressurized leak detection cup developed by Staff Sergeant Patrick Leach decreases up to 75% of the time it takes to detect leaks in fuel tanks, the 100th Air Refueling Wing said in a statement. The new tool has been authorized for use on the KC-135 refueler at RAF Mendenhall, where it's estimated it will save $1.5 million a year in man hours. It's a little gauge. I don't know how it does it. Yeah, I don't know how it does it. It works like a reverse tire leak check by sealing the area where a leak might be and pushing air back up the pathway to cause bubbles and foam inside the fuel tank where the leak is. That cuts about 4 hours of the time it takes to find a leak, Leach said. Previously, it took 8 to 12 hours and involved one airman spraying the outside of the aircraft with an air hose, and another airman wearing a respirator would be inside the tank watching for bubbles or foam, including a leak. The airman who had to crawl inside the fuel tank would smell like fuel for a week, Leach said. Yeah, that's what we have our PFCs for. They do that shit. Get in there, son. Be a man. New Plastic Army women include a dog handler and Rosie the Riveter. And pink is a color option. That's right. That's right. You can finally get your daughter, like, female soldiers. Okay, I'm looking at them. Little Green Plastic Army Women, shipping out later this year, will include a military working dog and handler, a nurse, Rosie the Riveter, on a pedestal inscribed with her signature slogan that says, "We can do it." That's right. Made by a company called BMC Toys. The audition of these toys comes as Women's History Month kicks off. The military celebrating the contributions of female soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, even as military women continue to mark first and take on roles previously restricted to men. So, there you have it. You can get your set. Sailors on the USS Ross aided a Turkish vessel that caught on fire. Yeah, nice. That was in the Black Sea. And, USS Theodore Roosevelt arrived in Vietnam, becoming the second U.S. aircraft carrier to visit since the 1970s. Also, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but one of our favorites is Jack Keane, right, who always speaks the truth no matter what. President has decided to award General Keane the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So, yeah. Yeah. So congratulations to him. I will tell you, I mean, Jack Keane, you know, guys like Jack Keane, guys like Tony Zinni are heroes to me. They somehow navigate the world of the media, and they do it with dignity, but they're not afraid to articulately lay out the truth and the case behind the truth. And so I think that's pretty cool. And it's necessary. In a story that's running in USNI News, lawmakers say new budget hurts competition with China for naval power and shipbuilding. So this is, again, this is the budget hearings are underway, right? China is not only a pacing threat to the U.S. naval fleet, but also to the American shipbuilding industry and supply chain, Navy leaders and lawmakers said today during a Senate Armed Services Sea Power Committee hearing. It's a subcommittee. Navy Acquisition Chief James Gertz said during the hearing that our pacing threat from China is their ability to scale and produce, leveraging their very strong marketplace. The U.S. needs to bolster its own shipbuilding industrial base, too, to remain competitive and healthy enough to scale up as the Navy tries to grow its capacity to compete with China. Now, let me tell you how that happens, right? We don't lay any tariffs on China for doing all that they do, and they subsidize their industries. So we have, I mean, just look at the whole, like, the medicines that come out of China. Well, we don't produce them anymore. So what do we do? Right? So what do we do? The next thing is masks. Well, we don't produce those anymore, so we don't have any control over it. Oh, crap. Yeah. So all that happens because of Chinese aggressive use of subsidies and transferring core, you know, manufacturing to China. Did you see the story that the Uyghurs from concentration camps are making shit for Nike? Did you see that? How does that happen? Right? How does that happen? So anyway, and then you see, and this is logical extension of it. Yeah, it extends to ships. Well, no kidding. No kidding. They're outpacing us. And in the midst of this, what the lawmakers are looking at, right, our procurement and our budget people saying is, in the midst of this, you're telling us that you don't want to produce like two or three ships. Right? Take that and go away. We're being outpaced, and now we're going to ramp ours down because you're trying to save money to go do something else. So that's where that is going. All right. News headlines from Marine Corps Times. Still circulating. These are the 21 internal memo items that the Commandant of the Marine Corps. Let's see if there's anything you haven't heard about. Do they have them numbered? No. Yeah, it's everything from more women in combat to combat arms roles to Confederate memorabilia to raising the AQFT, whatever that thing is, to 40, right? Top Pentagon doctor says most troops not at great risk for coronavirus. What? Come on, we're going hysterical. We're going hysterical, right? And, you know, I'll tell you what. The Taliban killed 30-something dudes, the last report I saw, on Monday, the day the president spoke to their leaders. And you had, you know, Secretary Esper playing it all down. So, and again, my problem with bobbleheads in primary positions, right? Donald Trump has run all the quality people out of his administration. The next thing, right, so now, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to have Secretary Esper. You know, how many people have to get killed, you know, in Afghanistan before Secretary Esper says, yeah, that breaks squelch. That is something. Can we ever get enough of military working dogs? The answer to that is no. We can never get enough of military working dogs. AFRICOM has recovered a Hellfire missile lost in a drone crash. So an armed Reaper, right, had a Hellfire missile on it. They found it. I don't know how they found it, but they did. It's always interesting because let me tell you, the natives, we lost a drone in Afghanistan. And it was funny. And it was like, well, do we have to... Do we have to go look for it? And they were like, "Well, not really." I said, "Well, there's units out looking for it. We know generally where it went down." So they went out and looked for it, right? And what they found was, right, they're looking for it and they're dismounted, and some lance corporal smoking a cigarette says, "Hey, sir, why don't we just follow this track where it looks like they drug it?" And that's what they did. They find the wings have already been used to bridge a canal. Had already been done. This is like within, you know, maybe an hour or two of it. And ultimately they found the body was wrapped in plastic and had been lowered into a water well to hide it. Yeah, the Afghan. Yeah, so the scavengers come out, man. And let me tell you, and they do it on the orders of like, hey, this is an asset, and we'll sell it back to somebody or whatnot. They're not stupid. All right, so here's the story behind this. U.S. Africa Command says it recovered a Hellfire missile that was armed on an MQ-1 drone that crashed near Agadez, Niger, on February 29th. Pictures of the drone crash appeared on social media. Yeah, here's a drone, like all smashed up and shit. Right? You got people standing around it, posing with the Hellfire missile. It was lost due to mechanical failure. We do not believe the RPA was lost as a result of any hostile action. We always have to make that clear. And now it's been recovered, so everybody, and somebody got paid some money. That's the important thing, right? And all of this, yeah, we know where it is. Is that it? Yeah, that's all we want to say. Headline, Marine Corps Times. Suicide remains a growing challenge for younger veterans, according to a survey. The number of young veterans who know somebody who has died by suicide or considered harming themselves both increased significantly in recent years, according to a just-released annual survey of Iraq and Afghan veterans of America, another sign of the mental health struggles facing the military community. Of more than 1,700 veterans who participated in the questionnaire, more than two-thirds said they know at least one post-9/11 veteran who has attempted suicide. Nearly as many, 62%, said they have lost a fellow young veteran to suicide. Nearly 6 years ago, 40% of the members surveyed said they knew of a fellow veteran suicide. So, again, tracking the data from inside the military, which it's increasing, and it's increasing at an increasing rate. Does that make sense? So it's not only increasing, but it's increasing the slope of the curve. I know this is getting complicated for all you dumbasses out there, okay, but pay attention, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit like economics and modeling and graphs. So not only is it increasing, okay, so if you hold your hand parallel, you hold your forearm parallel to the table you're sitting at or the dashboard of your car. Now, slant the slope of your forearm up, okay? Now take the back of your hand and rotate it towards your wrist. Okay, so the path is increasing through your forearm, and it gets to your wrist, and it goes steeper. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's what's called explaining shit for dumbasses, okay? And I'm awesome at it. I've always been good at that because I hang out with dumbasses. Yeah. Why? Because they're funny. They're fun. They do fun stuff. You want to hang out with smart people? Yeah. That shit's no fun. I could tell you that right now. Pentagon did not do enough to vet foreign military students, according to DOD intel officials. In the wake of the December shooting by a Saudi Arabian student pilot at Pensacola, at Naval Air Station Pensacola, the DOD found that the training and procedures it has in place for insider threats did not specifically take foreign military students into account. Going forward, the Defense Department has been working on not only preventing foreign troops with anti-American sentiment from coming into the country, but also pushing Saudi Arabia to take more accountability for its officers. Quote, we found that DOD programs meant to detect and mitigate events such as the Pensacola attack did not cover international military students. For instance, our insider threat programs, so anyway, what we'll have is enhanced security checks for foreign people and monitoring somehow or other. Why can't we use artificial intelligence to monitor every one of their social media accounts? Huh? Why can't we do that? We have all these limits, so we have to rein in artificial intelligence. Why don't we turn it loose in that area? Yeah, tell us everything. Everything. I want to know where they use their ATM card. I want to know what time he wakes up at night. I want to know how many steps he takes a day. right? I want to know who he calls, what he eats, when he goes to the bathroom. Tell me all of it. All right. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then Grant Newsham will come on. Number one, Pentagon did not do enough to vet foreign military students. We just talked about that. Number two, Esper says Taliban not honoring deal as U.S. warplanes bail out Afghan forces. Number three, Trump to present Medal of Freedom to retired Army four-star Jack Keane. We love that. Air Force, no progress in closing pilot shortfall. Number five, storied Army Institute developing COVID-19 diagnostic test and vaccine. Right? It's been all hands on deck since January 10th at the Walter Reed Army Institute for Research, working to develop vaccine against the COVID-19 coronavirus, now responsible for 91,000 illnesses and at least 3,000 deaths worldwide. All right, that is a look at the news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mr. Grant Newsham is going to join us, and we're going to talk about stuff. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good.